Good morning. So good to see most of you. That's rude. Did someone say, that's rude? Why does he start like that? Anyways, let's move on. I'm excited. I'm excited about this morning. Not that I'm not excited other times, but I just have this excitement. I just have this weird, not weird, I don't know the words, I didn't write this part down, but just have this amazing confidence that this is what God's given me. And so I'm excited. I hope you are. I hope you're ready. You're not ready, but I hope you're ready. Does that make sense? So I want to get going. We're going to be eventually in 1 Timothy today, and first chapter. So if you want to, you can grab your phone, you can grab your Bible, your iPad. What else is there?
Kindle.
Kindle? People use Kindles still? Okay, Kindles. Isn't that just for books? Ugh. All right. So whoa, let's calm down. Whoa, we don't need that. Okay, we read books at West Highland. I get it. Ultimately, we're going to be reading 12 through 17. But I just want to give you a little background, a little context to what is happening here. This is Paul. He's a touch older now, just got out of prison. And Paul sent Timothy as his representative to several important missions. And if you've ever read the New Testament, you kind of know this. He sent him to Thessalonica. He sent him to Corinth. He sent him to Philippi. And now Ephesus. And so the problem in the Ephesian church, I don't know if we can relate to this nowadays, but the problem in the Ephesians church was false teaching. Paul needed to leave for Macedonia, so he left Timothy. He was young. Young pastor, kind of new to the scene, he left him to handle this issue. The false teaching, apparently, was coming from the church leaders, which is sad, in my opinion. Which is why Paul had to write to Timothy, and although this letter has Timothy's name on it, Paul also is speaking through him to the congregation. And so the false teachers, what they did was they wrongly placed too much value on genealogies, on myths, and special rules, and about food and marriage, and they got all weird. And they were, I don't know, again, I don't know if we can relate to this, but they were conceited. And they were motivated by greed. And they loved to argue about theology. In 1 Timothy, it shows the power of and the need for Christ-focused teaching. You know, when you hear a sermon, this is a side note, I won't even charge you for this, but when you hear a sermon, every sermon, the main theme should be Jesus. Just throwing that out there. But it leads to... But this Christ-focused teaching, it leads to godly conduct and peace and the advancement of God's mission in the world, which is what we are about. False teaching, you might not know this, leads to conflict within the church and a bad reputation in the wider community. And so Paul instructs believers to counteract the bad example. This is mind-blowing. Never thought of this. He says, counteract the bad example of others by being a good example. Amazing, right? Mind-blowing. Who would have thought? We have the assurance that only our relationship with God through Christ can truly transform people. And so with that in mind, I want to read the verses this morning. So if you would, I tried to add a little space there so you didn't have to sit down, stand up, shout, shout, shout. So now we're gonna stand up and read God's word. You had like 30 seconds, just enough to get comfortable. The final slide of my PowerPoint. If you don't have a Bible, you can follow along. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. Verse 14, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. If you don't hear anything in these verses, hear this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Of whom, my sermon title, I am the worst. But for the very reason I was showing mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Verse 17, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You can be seated. Why don't you say it this morning? I'll help you. The grass withers. Come on. Okay, now that Pastor Tom led it by himself, let's do that together. The grass withers, flowers fade. All right. I like that. I like that. So there's a few things I want to kind of just point out to you, and then there's something ultimately that I want to just dominate this morning. And so, like I said, I'm excited. I love how Paul says all this as he reminds Timothy of his story, his testimony. If you grew up in church, that's the words you know. But he reminds Timothy of his own story, right? As if he didn't already know. But sometimes, maybe you're like me, you need a reminder, right? I ask you to take the trash out. You're supposed to wash your hands. You need a reminder. Sometimes you need a reminder. Sometimes you need a reminder. There are a couple of things I want to bring to your attention as we kind of look at this a little bit. And I want to get to why I think you are the worst. Exciting, I know, right? I am the worst is Paul's way of declaring not that he had committed all of the worst of sins, but that he was as needy of God's salvation as the worst or the best person by any standard. And in that sense, all of us are the worst. The worst. This is a good time to turn to your neighbor and tell them, you're the worst. Right? Now turn to your other neighbor and say, no, 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 no. You're the worst. You're the worst. Save whoever you save for last. The first thing that kind of jumps out at me is his thankfulness. His thankfulness. The first thing. The first thing. What does it say? I thank Christ Jesus. You think about Paul, his life, all that he's been through. What's he thanks Christ Jesus. He says, I am thankful. And I really believe, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what situation you find yourselves in, as Christians, we always have something to be thankful for. Always. No matter what, give me anything, and I'll give you something to be thankful for. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what he has done in your life. You're having a hard time being thankful? Look at yourself.
look at your life, and you can instantly be thankful that Jesus is crazy about you. No matter what. No matter what. I love that. I love that. It's just a simple little thing that you can look over so quick, but he's thankful. We can and we should be thankful for what Jesus does. And the other thing I kind of like is this idea that Paul is saying God is capable of saving anyone. Think about that. Think about that. What does Paul say? He says, oh, by the way, I'm the worst, right? He says, I was blaspheming. I was a persecutor. I was a violent man. Yeah, he was a violent man. All he did was run around and try and break up the church, right? He was on his way to do that in Damascus, and we know what happened there. Just before that, he's with Stephen. And he's there. He's holding all the coats, the garments of the guys that are killing Stephen. And he's approving that. He's watching that. He was a bad dude. And I know you would have thought, there's no way, no way God would save him. There's no way he'll ever change. You ever said that about somebody? You ever thought that about somebody? It's a terrible thing to think. When you just look at Paul, he says, no matter what, God's capable of saving anyone. And don't ever think that for a second. There's no way they would ever change. They're stuck in their ways. They've been like that forever. There's no way, really. God's not big enough. God's not capable. And I think it's you that's the problem and your limited view on who God is. Remember where you came from. Remember where you came from. Paul's giving him basically his testimony, his story. He's telling him, look, this is where I was. But I'm not there anymore. Now I'm here. And it's not because of my strength. It's not because I'm so good. It's because God's so strong. And God's given me this call in my life. And he's shown me grace and mercy. And he's taken me from here to there. And sometimes you have to remember where you came from in order to have that view of your sin. I am the worst. You ever take time to think about where you used to be? You ever do that? Sometimes, you don't actually have to, like, try. Sometimes it seems like people, in their kindness, remind you. Right? Oh, thank you for that. I'm so glad and your sarcasm, you reminded me that I was terrible and I just barely changed. But it's good to remember where you came from. And Paul doesn't go on and on and on and on. He kind of hits the highlights. But he also doesn't let the past beat him up. Do you see that? He doesn't let the past beat us up. And there's a lot of us that do that. There's a lot of us that do that. They think, oh, if I would have just... If I would have, no, well, you didn't. But you're not still there. You're not there. Now you're here. Don't let the past beat you up, because what you were in the past is not what you are now by the grace of God. Remind yourself that. That's time self-talk. That's a good thing to tell yourself over and over. I'm not who I was. I was recently talking with one of my friends about college. And like if I were to just give you a glimpse into my college years, although there was a lot of years, it wasn't like it my college years, I don't know how to say this. It's embarrassing. Not because of the school part of it. It's because of how I acted and took advantage of the space I was in, the environment I was in. Becky, remember South Africa? And we're not going to talk about it, but you remember that? I was an idiot. I was an idiot. But I was recently talking with a friend, and we played soccer together, and we were, you know, sometimes we talk about the glory days like they existed, and it was fun. But we were just talking, and we were just like, man, we wasted so many years. We really did. And it's easy to put your head down and get caught up in that, oh, why did I? But I'm so thankful. As I look at my situation and I look at my buddy's situation, that God didn't leave us in that state. And if you knew me, like at all, and by the way, I've been here a couple years, and some of you did know me. As I was just limping out of college, stepping into West Highland, I'm so thankful that I didn't stay how I was. But by the grace of God, I am. Like, just to give you an example, like if you go even back to high school, teenagers tell their teachers that I'm their pastor. And the teacher's like, no. Like, there's no way. That's seriously? I'm just thankful that I'm not still there. Can I remember that? Yes, absolutely. And hopefully one day it'll be harder to remember. But right now, I remember it. But I take that, what I used to be, and it bubbles up in me thankfulness. Notice what he did. It's thankfulness. It's not guilt and shame and beat me down and to make me feel like I'm nothing. It's this thankfulness. It's like, God, you are so good. You're so good. I was a disaster. And you looked at me and you took the time and said, oh, no. Okay. You might have an issue or easy. I can help you. I can help you. And day by day, step by step, I've grown. I've matured. Right? I'm not the same who I was. And that makes me so thankful. And it's that thankfulness that propels me to keep serving, to keep working, to keep talking about it. Because if God can save me, oh man. If God can save me, he can save you. He can save that stubborn person next to you. Remember where you came from. Remember it in a healthy way, in a healthy way. What frightens me, though, is a lot of us in this room and on Facebook, or for those of you who watch on YouTube, whoever it is, you think you're not that bad. And this is scary to think that. There's some of you that think, when you look at your life and your sin, I'm not that bad. It's frightening that those people exist. Because if you're not that bad, then you don't need a Savior. And you don't need a Savior. And trust me, that's a scary, scary place to be. Paul's view of his sin should be ours as well. I was telling Tom this. I'm the worst. I said, Tom, I'm telling you, I am the worst. And he goes, oh, please. No, I'm the worst. Tom, from what I think I know about you, I know, you know, we went back and forth. But Paul's view of sin, it should be ours. We are the worst. We're a total disaster. We're nothing without Jesus. Come on, you are that bad. We're so bad that God had to send his son to save us. Like, think about that for a second. When we think we're not that bad, I think what happens is you are comparing yourself to the wrong person. So when you think you're not that bad, you probably are comparing yourself to me. Or you're probably comparing yourself to Bill or Jane or whatever the names are. You're comparing yourself to them. You're like, well, I know them. And when I think about me, I ain't that bad. Yes, you are. Because you're comparing yourself to the wrong person. You know who to compare yourself to make yourself look that good. Come on, let's not play games. You know how this works. Compare yourself to Jesus, and then we'll talk. Can we do that? When you compare yourself to Jesus, the first words out of your mouth, I'm the worst. Arms up, I am the worst. It's over. Comparison done. But when you can play the game, and you compare yourself to other people, you go, okay, all right. Yeah, I know I didn't do that. I know I'm not. You're the worst. You're the worst. But let me encourage you, if you're... The problem is, I know me the best, right? You know you the best, more than anyone else. And as I think about my life, and I want you to think about you, because this is the great temptation is to think about that person that's over there or behind you that you know is sitting or next to you, and you're like, oh man. But I want you to think about you. And I know if God can save, forgive, restore, and use me, he can do it with anybody. And that's ultimately Paul, that's what Paul's saying to this young pastor, Timmy. He's saying, Timmy, look, I know you. And imagine Paul, he's old. He is old. He's saying, look, Timothy, I know you're in a difficult place. I know you haven't been a pastor very long. I know you're kind of insecure with the things that are going around you. There's false teachers. There's a lot of craziness happening, and things might seem dark and hopeless. But Timothy, don't forget, Jesus came to save sinners. That's what he came to do, right? This is one of the first of five things that Paul says in these pastoral epistles. He says, this is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I am the worst. And Paul's saying, I'm the best example of this. Paul's saying, look at me as an example, not because I'm so amazing, not because I'm so great, but because of how God has transformed me out of his grace and put me to work to serve him passionately. He's serving Jesus just as passionately as he was when he was against him. And it's amazing. And ultimately, Paul is saying, Timothy, do not forget about the power of the gospel. Don't forget about it. The power of God's grace. Look at my life. It's a picture of the gospel. And if you read through this again, you can see it. It's right there. I remember I was in China. The first time somebody looked at me in the eyes and said, what is the gospel? Tell me the gospel. And I went, gulp. I was stunned. And by the way, I was infuriated that I didn't have an answer. And so my question, West Highland, my question to you, do you know what the gospel is? So we say that a lot. We say it a lot. All churches talk about the gospel. Well, some. But do you know what it means? If we took a time out and I said, tell the person next to you what the gospel is, how are you feeling? You feeling confident? You feel good about that? No problem. I got this, right? mean, you guys, we're in church. Think about that. Unfortunately, I think there might be a few that you just don't have an answer. You just don't have like a confidence. You know how your teacher calls you, come up here and give a present, like that kind of confidence. We got to know what the gospel is. Come on. We have to know it. We have to know it. First of all, this word gospel, it literally means good news. And it's really, it really is the best news. The good news is that each of us was created and wonderfully made by God Himself. And not just made by God, but supernaturally loved by God. The bad news is, every single one of us has turned away from God. It looks different in each of our lives, but we have all turned aside from God's ways to our ways. We have said our ways are better than His ways, and as a result, we have separated ourselves from God. That's the good news and the bad news. But the best news is that God has not left us in that state of separation from Him. God has come to us Himself in the person of Jesus, and Jesus has done what no one else could ever do. Jesus lived a life with no sin, no sin in Him. And then even though He had no sin for which to die, He chose to die on the cross to pay the price for our sin. For your sin, for my sin. And then, as if that's not good enough, that Jesus died to pay the price for our sin. 3 days later, He rose from the grave in victory, defeating sin and death, which means that now for anyone, anywhere, no matter who you are or what you have done, anyone who trusts in Jesus and God's love in Jesus can be forgiven of all your sin and restored to a relationship with God, to live in a relationship with God right now and for all eternity. That is really good news. I would say this is the best news in the world. You can know God now and forever in a way that you don't even have to fear death like Dennis. You don't even have to fear death because you know the one who has conquered death. And you know you have a life in Him forever. It's the best news. Let me say it a little shorter to you. We're going to get the gospel in here. In here. So we can go out there. A little shorter. The good news that the holy, just, and gracious Creator of all things has looked upon a hopelessly sinful men and women and their rebellion and has sent His Son, God in the flesh, to bear His wrath against sin on the cross, to show His power over sin in the resurrection, so that everyone who turns from their sin and trusts in Him, repents, and believes will be reconciled to God forever. You know what? Let's do it one more time. Let's see what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. You got your Bible still? Let's just do this, people. Let's go. I'm so excited about this. You have to know the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15. Paul here. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of, what's that word? Oh, the gospel. I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand by this, what's that word? Gospel. Thank you for whispering it. You by this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I have preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. Verse 3. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance. That Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised, and on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then the apostles, and last he appeared to me, as to one abnormally born, for I am the least of the apostles, and I do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I love that. By the grace of God, here I am, right here, today. First Corinthians 15 very clearly states the gospel. The gospel. This is what the gospel says to all of us, no matter what, all the time. It says this: you're not too dirty for God to cleanse. You're not too broken for God to fix. You're not too far for God to reach. You're not too guilty for God to forgive. And you're not too worthless for God to forgive. You see, this gospel is so crucial. It flows into everything we do. Everything we do. Well, let me say, it should flow into everything we do, this gospel that we believe. It should flow into our marriage. It should flow into our relationship with our kids. Man, that one's just a big old one for me. Okay, we don't have time for that. But it should flow into our work, all of it. The sacrificial love, the unconditional love, this forgiveness, the grace that we don't deserve. It flows into all aspects. You want people to see a real practical example of Jesus? Love your wife. Love your husband. With agape love, with that sacrificial, unconditional love. And no matter what, you're going to love them. Some days, but you're still going to. You're still going to. You want to show your kids the gospel? There's some days I gotta get down, which is harder now. I gotta get down, and Axel's here, and I'll use Axel. I'll say, Axel, Dad, sorry. Will you forgive me? You know what he does? He forgives me. And there's times when those kids, it's an occasional. They test your patience occasionally. But I forgive them. I forgive them. Forgive them. I love them. I love them. It's a picture of what Jesus has done for us. We're living. Am I the best at that? Oh, no. No. No, 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 no. I'm trying each day to live this out in a better way with Laura. Yeah. You guys understand. I'm married up. Let's just stop with that. But sometimes we beat ourselves up with this, with our past, with the sin that sometimes we can't get over. And Paul kind of hints on that a little bit in Romans 5:20. He says, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. All the more. And I love that he gives grace. And he gives grace. I want you to listen to these words. I did not write this. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus. Listen, he giveth. He giveth. And giveth again. It's by his grace we have this good news known as the gospel. It's by his grace we have this good news known as the gospel. If you're here today, if you're listening online, and you want to turn and repent of your sin and trust and believe in Jesus, you can do that. You can do that before you leave. You can send us a message if you're online. We will respond to you. But this is what we are about. Come on, it can't just stay here. I'm available. Tom's available. We would love to talk to you about this great grace and this good news that we have in Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you. Oh, we thank you for this gospel. We thank you for your goodness. God, we thank you. We thank you for your grace, which you just give and give. And it's because of that grace that we even have the gospel. So I pray that the gospel, the message of your Son, that he came to save sinners, would just affect us deep down. To know that we haven't gone too far. We haven't gotten out of the reach of Jesus. And God, we thank you for examples. Like Paul, we thank you for real life examples that we know, people we can relate to who have lived an awesome example of your gospel. So help us now, as we internalize the gospel, to take it straight out those doors. And it to be something we talk about. It to be something that we think about. It to be something we're transformed with. God, give us the courage if that's what we need. We thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
One of the great things about being a pastor for a long time in church is that you can watch people grow. You know, the people are not the same as what they used to be. And I'm thankful for Andy, and I mean that. And because his growth and his love for the Lord has impacted my life exponentially. It's a good question, really, not only to ask yourself, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? But ask your children. Do your children know? I mean, really. When you people that are at home, what's the gospel? See if your children know. Parents, you need to be concerned about that. And we're going to stand and sing. This is a song that Andy is referencing. And stand together. And you can sing along as we do this. It's not the same tune as you remember, okay? He gives us more grace as burdens grow greater. He sends us.
as the labors increase, to added affliction, he adds his great mercy, to multiply trials, he multiplies his grace. When we have
for your wonderful grace. So blessed by the cross and the shed blood and the riches that have come into our hearts and lives, into our families, into our children, into our churches, because of what Christ has done. And we thank you, Lord, that your grace does indeed exceed everything that we need. His provision for us just covers everything. We're thankful today for that, Lord. We ask you to bless this congregation, bless us as we seek to serve you and love you and reach out to you each day in our lives to say, Lord, we need you. We need you every hour. We need you every day. We need you every moment of each day. And to know that you're there and to know that you have the power to transform lives. So we thank you for that. Lord, bless us now as we serve you throughout this week. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.